I have always wanted to say this. Can someone shut this clown up? But we love our intern.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, joining us is, of course, the always fantastic and great Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. It's going to be an interesting story. It's a throuple. Gone wrong? What can go wrong, right? So anyway, the story is interesting. There's a lot of really good information included in the story. So we definitely want to make sure that you tune in for that on the second half of the show. My name is Tom. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the only one in the studio today.
Oh, hi, Nick or Trish.
And of course, I'm Tom. And welcome you all to The Dish. So it's weird. Chris is not in today. He had a little car trouble, so he wasn't able to make it in today, but he will be with us next weekend.
I mean, I feel like at this point, everybody's like, is Chris going to be there? Is he not going to be there?
It's like one never knows.
Yeah, that's how we feel.
It's like opening a Tootsie Roll. You don't know what you're going to get. Like, do you get candy or does it come out the other end and it's just completely decrepit and like horrible? Ugh. But we love him.
We do.
So he will be joining us next week. I can guarantee you that. 100%. So anyway, we do have a couple of stories lined up for you before we're joined by the amazing Dr. G. But before we do that, I just wanted to toss it over to Nick. Nick, how are you?
Well, I mean, I'm the only one here. So yeah, toss it to me. I'm good. Things are good.
Wait, let me toss it. Let me really toss it to you.
Nothing really crazy happened this weekend. We hung out.
We did.
I stayed over.
He did.
As I needed
because
to.
Because he had to. Because I wasn't going to let him drive home in that condition.
It was actually funny because at one point Tom looked at me and he was like, I don't normally see you like this.
I was like, ooh. She is twisted.
I did. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but...
We finished a whole bottle of tequila is what happened.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there was, what, five of us?
Yeah, but we weren't all drinking tequila, so don't fool yourself.
Valid. But yeah, no, it was definitely a rough night.
No, but it was nice. You know, we hung outside by the fire in my newly, beautifully, reconstructed space. And it's what we've been doing, right? COVID has really been one of those things that has done one of two things. It either estranges you from the people that you love and you get so paranoid that you can't really see anyone, or it really puts you in touch with the people who are also like you, social distancing and staying home. And so then you can pick and choose which people you know are following the rules. And then you can get together.
But I also feel like people like have quarantined with certain people. For example, like I feel like indirectly I've quarantined with you, Steve, and Paul,
right?
And of course my roommate. But like though, like hanging out with you guys this summer made me realize who my true friends are. I know it sounds weird, but like the reality is, it's like we always spend time together, and it's like, if I go away for a week and you're like, oh, what? That's why I didn't hear from you? Like, what?
I was like, I didn't see you. But I mean, in reality, so last weekend you had gone away and I took care of your baby. Well, it's really your roommate's dog, but because you guys live together, obviously it's all of your babies.
Right.
And so Raleigh came over and she spent time with me. And let me tell you what a good girl she was. I love her. I absolutely love her demeanor. This beautiful creature of God is just so amazing. And so having her in my space is always a thrill for me.
All right. So let me tell you a little something about Raleigh, okay?
You better not badmouth my bitch because I will cut you.
I love her. I got up. I took her outside to pee.
Mm-hmm.
Went upstairs, showered, came downstairs, and there was pee on my rug.
Oh,
like, come on, girl. We literally went for a walk.
Well, you know, so.
And it was like a half an hour, and I took her on another walk before we left, before I left. And I was like, why? Did you pee on the fucking floor?
Well, dogs have a way of telling you when they're not content, right? And so my fits.
I guess she misses you.
Oh, I love her though. No, my Fitz really. So Fitz is my oldest. He's my oldest Yorkie. I have two. And he really gets mad at me when I keep him in the kitchen. Like, so if I'm not in the living room area, I don't let them in there while I'm not. But if I am and I close the gate to the kitchen, this dog will literally walk to the gate, look at me dead in the eye on the opposite side of that gate, lift up his leg and pee because he wants to be where I am. And he'll do that. And so dogs are just like that. You know? They're just bitchy like that. They're like their owners. I'm a bitch.
Yeah, no, so are you a bitch?
Yeah. And so therefore, you know, it's only logical that our children would learn what we are and emulate what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Bitches.
Yeah.
True born bitches.
Yep.
So, anyway, it is October 5th. That means October is in full bloom. No one knows if Halloween is even going to happen, but there's a lot of things happening.
Halloween is coming.
It is coming, but we don't know if it's happening, if it's going to be celebrated to the way that we're normally used to celebrating Halloween. And so, you know, one just never knows. I had this whole idea in my head last year that I was like, I'm going to go all out for Halloween, and then COVID happened, and I was just like, yeah. It's not happening.
I'm actually going to go all out this year.
Yeah? What are you doing?
So, me and Paul are going again to New York to his sister's house. And I'm going to be Thor.
Oh.
I think.
Are you going to wear the wig with long hair? Come on, tell me you are.
No.
And I want pictures.
No, I'm doing the short hair one.
The short hair Thor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Paul is, I think he wants to be Groot. And his sister's going to be Gamora, and the kids are going to be Captain America and Iron Man.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited. It'll be fun, and we're going to take them trick-or-treating.
Oh, well, hopefully it'll happen, because, you know, there's rumor has it that because of COVID, you might not be able to give candy in the traditional way, right? Yeah. And so... So what I'm thinking is I'm definitely going to make sure that I have candy on hand, but I think I'm going to bag them and make sure that they're sanitized.
Or you can just, like, put it out so people can take it.
So, but that's the thing, right? So people are putting their hands in it, and we don't know if kids are going to have their gloves on or blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to have parents worry about sanitizing their candy, like, really? And so I think that the best way to do it is to buy the candy that's already been bagged, and put some gloves on, and then buy some Ziploc bags and put candy in each Ziploc bag, and then you can hand a Ziploc bag to each child.
Yeah.
Or have them pick one of those up, and then that way the candy that's inside has been, in a way, you know, packaged in a way that would minimize the exposure to COVID. Because I wouldn't want to be responsible for having someone's child get sick.
No, and it's crazy, because, like, Connecticut right now has been so good, but now we're seeing a spike, and it's like, I don't want to risk it.
So there's a lot of things to think about when it comes to Halloween and COVID, and even when it comes to Thanksgiving and having family members over and not knowing whether or not they're doing what they need to do to keep themselves safe, right? And Christmas and all of these other holidays that are coming up around the corner. So it's just, you know, something to think about, really.
I don't know what I'm going to do about, like, visiting my family this year. Like, it's weird. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
And it's Florida, and it's one of those states that really has been hit hard by COVID.
Well, and we were hit hard too, and they, you know, and now we're seeing a spike. But the thing is, it's like, I feel like here everybody's a little bit more aware and taking the right precautions.
Right.
Whereas in Florida, I feel like people are like, well, we have to open up the economy. We have to do this. We have to do that. I'm like, no, you have to take care of yourself, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the economy needs to be open. But at the same time, like,
you still have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And your family members and the people that you love. And one of the hardest things for us, right? So around this time of year, you're going to go see your parents. You're going to go see your grandparents. You are literally having to either travel or hop on a plane or hop in a car or do something that will potentially expose you to this virus. And then when you get there, you're interacting with people who are at most risk when it comes to the impact that COVID could have on them. And so you have to have all of that in your mind and in the back of your mind when you're making these travel decisions.
And I'm paranoid as fuck.
We know.
And I feel bad because, like, I mean, I lost my grandma.
Right.
During COVID. Mm-hmm. And
wasn't due to COVID.
Correct.
But you lost her nonetheless. My grandma.
And
you couldn't travel.
No, and I couldn't travel. I couldn't be there. And we had to witness her funeral virtually on Facebook Live. And it was, like, horrendous for me. And all I want to do is go see my grandpa. I mean, Grandpa, you turned 90 today. Congrats.
Happy birthday, Grandpa Bussett. Is it Bussett?
Yeah.
Okay,
great. But, like, it sucks because, like, I really do want to go down and see my grandpa and spend time with him and my family. But at the same time, I'm like, is it the smart decision? Like, I don't think it is.
So here's the thing. You're young, and chances are if you were to contract COVID,
I would survive.
You would survive. There's a very good probability that you would. We have seen instances.
That being said, I am a smoker.
Right. But, your grandpa's 90.
Yeah, I know.
And so you really have to think about whether or not you want to... You already lost the opportunity to say goodbye to your grandma.
Yeah, I know.
Right? And do you want to...
No, I know what you're saying.
It's a hard decision.
Yeah.
And whatever decision you make, I will support 100%. But, you still have that... You have to really think about whether or not you're willing to put your loved ones at risk when you go visit them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you can do everything right. You can do everything by the book. You can sanitize your hands. You can wear your mask. You can do anything. Get a test and do all of that and not realize that on your way in transit, you contracted COVID,
yep.
Didn't even realize it. Uh-huh. And then you end up killing someone you love.
Wow. That was heavy.
But it's the truth.
No, I mean, it's my sister came up to Connecticut and she lives in Florida. She had COVID, her boyfriend had COVID. They both came up. They both got tested before they came. They had to submit all this paperwork to the certain states they were going to. And I still wore a mask around them. Like, I gave them both hugs, but I had a mask on the entire time.
Right.
But it was weird because, like, we sort of had plans to have a barbecue with, like, my brother, my sister, her boyfriend and whatnot. And we all decided that, like, it just didn't seem like the right thing to do.
Right.
I don't know. Fucking COVID, man. I'm so tired of fucking COVID.
But it's here. Ugh. And we have to be able to intelligently and consciously navigate the challenges that we are presented with.
Tell me, like, if you wake up with, like, a scratchy throat or a cough.
I have one right now.
Right. Like, do you feel, like, I get so paranoid.
Paranoid. So I'm always in a tank top. I don't know if you noticed this for people who watch our video version of the show. I'm always in a tank top. It doesn't matter if it's 60 degrees outside, 40 degrees outside. I'm always in a tank top. And if it's cold, I'll put on a sweater or a jacket. And this is just how I like to be because I'm always running a little hot to begin with.
That's normal for you.
Right. But the moment my throat, like yesterday, my throat was a little scratchy. I was like, yeah, no, something's happening. And then it just sort of kind of goes away. You get paranoid.
Yeah. I take my temperature every day.
Right. I gave my mother a thermometer. So that's another thing. So my mother is an avid bingo player, right? You have all these bingo games that happen at all of these different, like, bingo halls all over the state and blah, whatnot. And bingo has been one of those things that just, it's not happening. And so I said, okay, Ma, look, I have this amazing outdoor new space now. We can social distance. We can come here. And if you want to play bingo, we can do that. So I started ordering all these, like, bingo cards, like paper ones and daubers, so that you can play bingo. And all of her friends come over and we put out hors d'oeuvres and all that good stuff. And for the past like 8 weeks, we've been doing bingo every Friday night. And then I said to her, I said, you know, when it starts getting cold and you can no longer bear being outside,
yeah,
bingo's going to end. And she's like distraught because she loves it so much and yeah, she's missed it. But you have to be safe. And even when she comes over, I still, I'm so like hyper conscious of the fact that I have, you know, the 60 plus year old women.
Yeah, but you have everybody distance. There's,
I like, do.
There is sanitizer everywhere.
Right. I
mean, you do it right. It's not like, you know, it's
but
safe.
I still worry, right? Because she's yeah, my mom, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if my mom were to ever get sick because of something that I ever did, it would destroy me. It truly would. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it. But those are the things that you have to think about mm-hmm, when you are willing to try to please your mom in some way, shape, or form so that she just doesn't go bonkers in her apartment.
But I'm honestly, this conversation is kind of perfect. We need to cover some stories.
We do.
But it's perfect because what we're going to talk about with Dr. G later is how we are all, as a society, so focused on COVID-19 that we're losing sight of some other things that we need to be aware of.
Right.
And I think I want to make that point before we move into
Some stories. So anyway,
yeah,
enough with bingo, enough with all of that. I do love my mom. We love our family members, and we do. And we'll find a way to reconnect once everything is... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, how exciting we both got this today.
So, all right, let's jump into some of the important stuff. First and foremost, before we talk about this, October 11th is next Sunday. It is National Coming Out Day. Mm-hmm. And I have been working on some personal projects at work I'm super excited about. But I wanted to reach out to all of our listeners and say, share your coming out story. If you want to, please go on our page on Gay Talk 20 on Facebook and share a video telling us a little bit about your coming out story. And so we're going to...
We can reshare our old video.
We can, we can create a new one if we wanted to, right? Because we've got a couple of other people that join us on a regular basis that can, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, their experiences with coming out, even though they're not part of the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they have and foster people. So Jay, for example, Jay Bear joins us once in a blue moon. Jay is an avid ally of the community, and he has fostered, I would probably say, about 3 or 4 LGBTQ kids in his home that didn't have a place to stay because parents did not support their children's, you know, the fact that they were gay or bisexual or transgender or whatever the case may be. And so the reason why I love that man so much, because his heart is big, and he just gives so much. Him and his wife do amazing things for our community. And so they foster all of these kids and bring them into their home and give them a place to stay and food to eat and a warm, you know, room and a place to call their own. And over the years, over the decades that I've known Jay, he has done this. And I'm truly appreciative of the fact that him and his wife really go out of their way to do that.
Yeah, no, getting to know him has been really special to me, because when you meet him initially, he's like a man, like,
right. He's like rough. Like very rude.
Yeah. And like getting to hear some of his history and his stories, I was like, you are a beautiful person. Your family is beautiful. And like,
no doubt,
like having him join us on the show, even though sometimes
he's a little quiet and shy. Yeah. He is very shy.
He's brilliant. And all he cares about is supporting people and loving people and sharing love that he knows he can give to people. And that is like Mama Kim, like just literally love is love, giving love. And that's what he does. And it's beautiful.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And so I'm super grateful that he's in my life, and I'm super grateful that he's joined us on the show. And maybe one day we'll dive into that story.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
It's a beautiful story. Trust me. Trust me when I tell you. All right. So National Coming Out Day, October 11th. It happens on a Sunday. But if you want to share all of your stories, please record a video of yourself. Tell us a little bit about your coming out story and post it on our Gay Talk Facebook page. And we'll make sure to go through all of them. Your story might be on next week's episode.
Yeah. And if you don't feel comfortable taking a video, you can simply write something out and post it on our wall.
or write it on the wall or send us an email with your story. We'll be more than happy. Right. Any which way you can communicate your story with us. The purpose of that is that, you know, there is strength in coming out. There is strength in making sure that you vocalize the fact that you are who you are, mm-hmm. that you are living your truth, that you are living your authentic self. There's nothing better. There's no greater power in this world than that. And if your story can inspire someone else to follow that and come out and be their authentic self, then you know what? That is our goal. Mm-hmm. That is the main purpose.
Yeah, and like, I mean, both Tom and I have talked about our stories. Chris has talked about his story. And
right.
Some of them, mine is not very easy. Tom's not so easy.
Not at all.
Chris, a little bit less. Right. But the reality is there are a lot of people out there that have similar situations. And just to hear the reality that they're not alone is so important. So if you share your story with us, we would love to share
with the world
what you're sharing with us.
Right. So definitely do that. Do it on our Facebook page. It could. It could be the difference between someone, you know, thinking, contemplating suicide or not. It's really deep. It's really deep. So we would be honored if you share your story with us.
I mean, I know we're not going to get to any stories in the first half, clearly. But I mean, like just this past week, we got this amazing email from this person. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't think he had said he wanted that. But
nonetheless, we talk about it, but we'll keep it anonymous.
But he lives in rural Texas.
Right.
And was telling us a story about something that he went through with Trump supporters and how it just really kind of blew his mind and how this podcast or listening to us every week helps him feel like he's a part of a community or a part of something that makes him feel good, or it's the best part of his Monday or Tuesday or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm not reading the email right now. So, but that's the type of stuff. That's why we do this.
Right.
That's why we're here. Because we want to share your stories. We want to share our stories. And then also inform you about what's going on in the world.
That's right. So speaking of that, we're going to talk about one quick story before we bring the great doctor on. And that is, of course, this whole thing about Proud Boys. So I want to bring that one up first. So last week was the presidential debate. Of course, it was Donald Trump. Blech. With Joe Biden, and it was a fiasco. It was a shit show of a fucking debate.
I mean, on both sides.
It was, truly. I'm not going to deny it. Listen, Joe Biden's my man. He is, and we all know that. And, you know, we need change in this world, and we know that Joe Biden's going to be the only person that could bring something other than what is in that office right now, which is just absolute disastrous. But anyway, so we had the debate last week, and part of the whole thing was that the moderator had asked Donald Trump to denounce white supremacy during the debate, and he mentioned this group called the Proud Boys specifically. And Trump couldn't do it. He could not denounce white supremacy in any way, shape, or form. And it doesn't matter how the White House tries to spin it, he couldn't do it.
No, he found a way around it. I to this day, he literally said, well, give me something specific. Like who? Like what? And everybody was like, white supremacy in general.
Right.
And he literally said, stand back and stand by.
As soon as they mentioned the Proud Boys, right?
Because No. He said that before the Proud Boys
right.
were mentioned.
And so when he said that, the Proud Boys, which is a legitimate, hateful group.
They're a far-right, neo-fascist, male-only organization affiliated with white supremacy.
They came out and took that and started, like,
it became their slogan.
Literally. And so they went out and they started creating t-shirts and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the most amazing thing that happened was that, of course, in true gay fashion, we're like, you know what? Fuck you. You're not going to get away with this. We're going to take it. And so Proud Boys became... So basically what ended up happening is, according to LGBTQNation.com, is that gay couples swarmed the hashtag Proud Boys on Twitter And it was glorious. So anyway, the creators or the people who founded this group, this hateful group, are furious because now Twitter is being flooded with pictures of gay men showing love for one another, kissing and hugging, and they're using the hashtag Proud Boys, and it was one hell of a way to just take something that was so disgusting and negative and use it for something that is amazing and full of love and something deserving of the hashtag Proud Boys.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you, like, we always talk about it on the show. It's like, you give power to words. You give power to whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And literally what the LGBTQ plus community did was take the power away from white supremacy by owning the hashtag Proud Boys.
Yeah, we took something negative and we was like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to flip it and we're going to make it something beautiful and something full of love.
100%.
And it was glorious. Absolutely glorious. So listen.
You know what? We'll hashtag something later, Proud Boys.
That's right. Hashtag Proud Boys. Maybe Nick and I will go and make out on the couch and then we'll hashtag it. Not going to happen.
No, but honestly, for National Coming Out Day, though, if you are a gay male or identify as male and you want to share a story with us, hashtag it Proud Boy or Proud Boys. Like, I think that sounds right.
Yeah. We can do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do mine. I'm going to share my story. And I'll share it on the Gay Talk page. Nick.
Some of these photos are hot.
Yeah. I was like, just like, I'm just thinking to myself, like,
the
oh
only
my God,
Proud
I
Boys I acknowledge. Hot as fuck.
Yes.
In fact, these are even more Proud Boys. Girl.
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Superstar.
Don't take pride away from gay men, honey.
You
not
can't.
Not gonna happen.
You can't.
You can make pride proud, but we're proud to be gay and prideful boys.
All of the time. So, all right, well, listen, we've got the great doctor joining us after the break. We're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, Dr. G joins us. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we got to leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just to say. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife, but they're coming. Well, they're coming down the road, yes, they're sack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming. Well, don't look them in the eyes, yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey. And don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey. And don't forget your history. It was never the land in the first place. But they're coming just the same. Station where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they come here just the same.
Good evening and welcome back from the break. That, of course, was Wastelands by Amanda Barrett. She is one of our previous guests on the show. That album is already out and it's available on all of the major music sharing platforms that exist, including Apple Music and all of those amazing places. And so, therefore, you can go and download that album. She is great. She's amazing. Make sure that you go do your due diligence and listen to her music. So, anyway, have you ever heard of a throuple? You haven't? Well, if you haven't, we have the amazing Dr. G with us to tell us about a throuple in P-Town that will leave you wondering.
Throuple.
In P-Town, that will leave you wondering whether physical sexual contact is even worth it in the age of COVID. Welcome back to the show, Dr. G. Once again, it is great to have you. And tell us, how are you?
I am good. I'm good. I'm in a weird spot in the house. Do you hear me good?
Yes.
Okay, cool. If there's a little bit of delay and whatnot and it gets too annoying, let me know, okay?
Definitely. No, but we can hear you perfectly fine.
So first and foremost, we are coming up on National Coming Out Day, and we are going to put you on the spot. You don't have to answer, but we were wondering if you would share your coming out story with our listeners.
Oh, God. That's not like... Oh, just 2 seconds. This is like, there's a lot to that.
Well, why don't you give us a condensed version of your coming out story? I just feel that...
If you want to.
You don't have to.
Oh, no. It's totally fine. Well, do you guys know that I was married to a woman first?
We did not.
Okay. So I met someone during residency program, my surgical residency, and... fell in love of what I thought was true love. And during this time, I had always gone back and forth with guys and girls and could kind of do both, but I needed someone to just be like, you're gay, you like dick, stick with dick, right? But nobody said that to me. So I went back and forth. And anyhow, I wound up meeting a girl and it was the right time in our lives that we came together, and we did, and we got married, and I was married for 2 years, 2.5 years. I'm and jealous. During this time, say it again.
I'm jealous.
I don't know. It was a little bit
longer.
Okay. So I was married for a couple of years. And then I was, obviously when you want dick, you're going to get dick. And so what wound up happening is that I actually met Andy, my current partner, and fell in love, but I was obviously still married at the time. And I spoke about this on, there's a platform called I'm From Driftwood, which is a good friend of mine that he talks about a lot of coming out stories. And so I'm on like a 45-minute segment of this coming out. So if you want more details to it, you can. But I met Andy. We had a really great, romantic, amazing experience for a couple of months. And then he found out I was married because I forgot to take off my ring when I went to brunch in Meatpacking District. Anyhow, he...
In the Meatpacking District. Yes. How appropriate.
Anyway.
And so I got caught and it like blew up. And obviously, you know, I was cheating on someone. I wasn't telling the truth. It was really, really terrible times. And I was training in Maryland for surgery. And my mother called me and she says, we made a list. We know you've been very sick lately. You've lost like 45 pounds. You look like shit. We know something is wrong. And she made a list of the certain things. Am I dying? Do I have cancer? And the third one was, are you gay? Mm-hmm. And I finally like broke down and said, I think I am. And they literally hung up the phone and were like, we're coming down to meet you. So they came down to Maryland to meet me. And Andy was there also. And it was just like this crazy, like I was forced basically out, but it was the best situation because so I spent the next couple of months rectifying as much as you can my marriage, ending that. And then Andy gave kind of three choices. He's like, you know, you can go back to your marriage and live happily ever after. You can come out by yourself, live by yourself and be gay and experience the gay world, or you can come and live with me. And I should have chosen number two, but I chose number three.
But do you really regret it now?
Now I'm fucked. I have two kids. I have
beautiful kids.
And I'm not going anywhere.
So I have to tell you, your child has been the star of every conversation we've had for the past like 3 weeks.
He's not wrong. So before we jump into the story, my last question about coming out, because coming out day is coming up. Do you have any advice for anybody out there who is coming out or thinking about it? What would you say to them if they came to your office and was, you know, I want to come out, don't know how to do it?
I think that coming out for me was the most liberating experience. And I think obviously it's for most people, I think it has been over time, even though initially it may be hard and harsh on relationships, over time, it's the best thing. I think one of the things that we're doing at Bespoke is, and you'll check it out on National Coming Out Day, is kind of starting to talk about all the things from a medical side that if you are coming out and you are identifying as one particular community, what do you need to know on the medical side to make sure that you're being taken care of, you know, entirely? Yep. Because we want to make it as easy as possible for you. If so many other things to worry about on a coming out perspective, how do we make sure that we kind of put a listicle of the top 5 or 10 things that you should be aware of on a surgical and medical side from Angel that hopefully prepares people for when they truly come out and start engaging sexually, how do they do it as safely as possible?
Right.
Which is actually really important because we know historically our community has had to hide in the shadows. And when we do that, that's when the damage happens. That's when STDs are spread because we have to be, you know, have these quickies in these weird places. So getting that information out there to people who may want to come out or may not want to come out is really important. So right. That's amazing.
And I agree with you. I think that the key is, you're right, that transition period and or the hiding is the most risky behavior that happens. Mm-hmm. And so even if you aren't coming out, that doesn't mean you shouldn't seek professionals that can help keep you in as safely as possible.
Right.
Does that make sense? Even though we may say, look, the best thing for you is X, Y, and Z, the whole point of my practice is to not judge or create stigma, but support you in whatever that is. And you may say, look, I'm a closeted male, though it's not the right time for me to come out. And we say, okay, no worries. How do we support that to minimize the risk? Because we know all of those encounters are mostly, a significant amount of them are full of risk. And how do we minimize that as much as possible? Especially if you are married or with others where you don't want to bring things back into that relationship. It's already strained enough. How do you now make it more complicated from your escapades?
Yeah. Right. I mean, on the show, we've heard stories of people that were closeted and brought home plenty of things.
STDs.
Yeah, to their partners. But that being said, we should jump into the story.
Even in today's story, I mean, when I read the story, you're talking about a couple that didn't even know that they were, you know, nonchalantly just sort of kind of carrying this, you know, passive version of all of these STDs that this individual ended up contracting. that affected him and could potentially affect them from a health perspective. So,
and on top of that, we also have to acknowledge that we are all so wrapped around the concept of COVID-19 that we're not thinking about everything else. So I think this story can really be impactful because the fact is, it's like, yeah, COVID-19 is a thing and we have to be aware of it, but you can get other diseases as well. Right. And I think that's what's so great about the story.
So why don't you tee us up, Dr. G? Tell us a little bit about the story and then we'll go in and break it down.
Yeah. So I think the client was put in contact with a couple people, met a couple. They really had a great couple of dates in the city and felt like a weekend getaway kind of as a throuple would be, you know, what they wanted. And so they all headed up to P-Town. The third person arrived a little bit later. And then obviously when he arrived, everybody was already partying and having fun, naked, enjoying kind of being, you know, in nature and being free, right? And then they really had such a great weekend together sexually. And, you know, I mean, throuples are not easy, right? There's usually kind of some bias on one. You want one, you don't want the other. It's a wacky situation. But it seemed like with this that it worked really, really well. Everybody hit it off. It wasn't jealousy, but there was a lot of sex happening. And they had a great weekend and then departed. And then a couple of days later, symptoms of my client started to develop, wound up getting a cold sore that was pretty painful right on the lip, and then started complaining about what he thought was hemorrhoids at the beginning. So wound up texting me and emailing me, hey, I'm in a lot of pain, it's getting worse. And then we kind of dissected, obviously, the sexual weekend. And obviously, from just the discussion, I could tell that it was definitely an STD. Now, one of the things is, if you're being treated for an STD, I usually, in the beginning, treat people with everything. So sometimes you don't know if it's herpes, you don't know if it's gonorrhea, you don't know if it's chlamydia, or it could be syphilis, right? So for me, I always like to treat broadly. So I'll put somebody on Valtrex for the herpes. I'll put somebody on chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis medicine right from the beginning. And then the second that we find out what you are, positive and negative for something, then we can come off of the treatment so that now we are really specific with our treatment. And I feel like people get better and faster results that way. Does that make sense?
Well, of course, because you're already giving them an opportunity to start treating them immediately for something that you're suspecting they may have. And then once you know for sure that they don't have it, you're taking them off that medication and having them continue treatment for what they actually have.
Right, right. And I find that, you know, especially you're in so much pain, and anal pain fucking sucks. You know, it's terrible. You can't walk around. You feel like you need to shit all the time. You're bleeding. Yeah. There's mucus. So what wound up, it started to get worse over a couple of days. And so I saw him in the office, and it looked like it was indeed an STD for sure. We continued treatment, and I didn't want him going to the weekend with potentially worsening issues, especially because I can't get to him on the weekend. So we decided on Friday to bring him to the operating room, because sometimes with an STD, you can get an abscess. And the abscess is something where, you know, if you're being treated and it's just not getting better, STD stuff usually gets better within 24 to 48 hours. You're feeling some element of improvement. If you don't, where you're like, you know, it's still fucking lingering on, you have to think of, well, are we missing something? Or is there something else like an abscess right. going on?
Now, when you say you put them on treatment for potentially the spectrum, right? Is that like a Z-Pak or something? Because when I've talked to my doctor...
No. Yeah.
I just think like antibiotics, like people shouldn't take antibiotics unless they really need them, right? So if we're putting people right. on things that they don't necessarily need, how does that affect them?
Right. Well, I think one of the things people worry about, of course, is like resistant stuff. And that's why you don't want to just kind of throw to the wind and say, oh, yes, this is that. But I really, it's kind of the severity. If someone's like, hey, you know, I have a little tickle in my ass, but they're living their lives, I'll wait for the cultures to come back so I know exactly what I'm treating. But if someone's coming, calling me, and they're like, Evan, I need fucking pain meds, I'm in all this type of pain, I feel like shit, then we want to really treat it so that people get better. And sometimes you can't tell truly what it is, even at the time. So you might as well do this broad spectrum. But for herpes, it's called Valtrex, and you take 1,000 milligrams twice a day, or sometimes even 3 times a day, depending upon if it's a really bad infection. Mm-hmm. For gonorrhea and chlamydia, I usually use what's called doxycycline, 100 milligram tablets, and you take those 2 times a day for at least 7 days. Plus, like you said, the Z-Pack, but it's called the azithromycin, where you're taking 2 pills. Now, some people get shots in the ass. I just don't give shots in the ass in my office. You can definitely get them at clinics and stuff like that. I just feel like with the shots, I've seen a lot of people not improve with one dose of a shot in the ass, first of all, and it hurts. And I've seen a lot of failures with it that I just don't trust it. So I usually give a 7-day course plus all the other stuff up front, and then obviously pain medicine, et cetera. And in this case, I wanted to make sure, because the pain was not necessarily truly getting better, you wanted to make sure that there wasn't an abscess or something that was causing the issue. And so I took him to the operating room. I made sure everything looked totally fine. The STD was actually getting better. We continued the medication. And he got better. Mm-hmm. But it was just very interesting, because when we found out that indeed it was a rip-roaring herpes and chlamydia, he then wound up reaching out to the couple, and the couple was very, very dismissive. And right away was like, well, you're the slut. You must be hanging, you know, you must be hanging out with other people, and it's not us. And the conversation was not a derogatory, accusatory conversation. It was simply, hey, I had a really great weekend. This got fucked up when I came home, and this is what I did. And you were the only ones that I actually hooked up with. So this is a nice conversation of a shitty situation to tell you and to see. And he brought light to the fact that, you know, look, we all went and got COVID testing before we went out there to make sure we were safe. But clearly it's not only COVID, because here I am where I feel like I'm fucking dying, and it's herpes and chlamydia.
Right. So, so we, in reading the article, I mean, we talk about asymptomatic herpes and or gonorrhea, whatever it is. And we've heard a lot about that with COVID. You can be asymptomatic and still spread it. But I had no idea that you could be asymptomatic and spread an STD. What does that mean? What does that look like?
It's exactly that, where people are not feeling discomfort. They have no change in bowel movements. They're not bleeding. They wouldn't even know. And we talk about this all the time. You know, that's PrEP is really wonderful because of its properties from an anti-HIV, but it's also creating a protocol for people to get STD screening, because we do know that there are a significant amount of people that are asymptomatic and carrying an STD and not knowing it. So the thought process is, well, if you're on PrEP and you're going every 3 months for checks, in theory, we would catch that. Now, we have spoken multiple times that many practitioners are not testing the right way, because usually in an asymptomatic person, their blood test will be negative. And so if you're going to a doctor where you're just doing blood work and you're not doing appropriate oral anal swabbing and urinalysis, where you're checking urine and doing a full check, you're going to miss this asymptomatic. If your doctor tells you to swab yourself, there's a false negative rate considerably, because you're not going far enough in. So asymptomatic is, you know, these bottoms that wouldn't know anything that's going on. And it's the same thing on HPV and anal warts. There's so many people that don't even know they have it, and they're passing on active HPV. I feel like a lot of what we're trying to do is educate people to take ownership of themselves and also know that yearly exams are super, super important. If you are having sex more with other partners that are a little bit risky and you're concerned, do it more often, every 3 months, every month, whatever you need. But I think that we, as all bottoming and engaging this way, need to make sure that we are being supported by physicians that are doing the right things, but also are pushing us in the right direction, specifically because you're asymptomatic. Right.
And if you are asymptomatic and you literally carry that virus for months, years without having any signs of having herpes or gonorrhea or whatever it is,
yeah, totally, totally. Now, some of these people where you start questioning them and they do see some change in bowel habits, but they didn't really put one and, you know, two and two together. So others, no, they don't have any symptomology at all. I mean, you look at those guys that were, you know, on the throuple, and both of them, you know, both of them had positive cultures and not a single one. And think about it. After, obviously, this went on, my client looked further, and clearly these guys were hooking up with a considerable amount of people. Mm-hmm. And right. So now you could see that spread, very similar from a COVID perspective. Well, again, in our world, we're a very sexual community. And with that being said, it's one person, it's two persons, it's going to constantly, and then all of a sudden it becomes this exponential, where the reality is that you may be that person that somebody's fucking, and it just winds up being, yeah. You know, we don't want that. And in the, and then in the days of most people not using condoms and are douching incorrectly and are not cleaning them out themselves out the right way, it now is a nidus for infection. And that's crazy, especially like you said, everybody's so focused on a COVID perspective. And they're not looking at all of these risks have been in our communities for ages. Mm-hmm. And how do we take ownership of that and try to mitigate that as much as possible? And, you know, and that was, it was a really powerful story, because unfortunately, and, you know, thankfully he's all good and it's a learning experience. And we spoke about, you know, look, prophylactic treatment. So like, if he finds himself in a throuple or another situation again, clearly maybe we take Valtrex and or doxycycline prophylactically, knowing that it can minimize people's risk for an active acute infection. And so that those are really good discussions to try to figure out, and also to hold people accountable and try to push the needle where people are taking responsibility for themselves in the right way. Just like we're taking social responsibility for COVID, there should be obviously STD responsibility.
So when you say prophylaxis, you mean someone who takes an initiative to go and get pre-medicated, pre-taken care of, so that if they were to be in this situation where they might be exposed to these agents or these particular viruses, that they would have some sort of protection from the get-go. They're one step ahead of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And most of the stuff is not before, it's within 72 hours of hooking up.
Right.
So like, let's say, you know, let's say me and you two are in a throuple.
I can see you. This is definitely not going to happen.
We can leave Tom out of this.
Yeah, we can leave Nick out of it.
If we're engaging and we think that we're high risk, let's say, even though we're not, let's say we're high risk. Within 72 hours of our last hookup, we could take prophylactic antibiotics and or antivirals to minimize the risk. Now, it's not going to get rid of everything. A lot of times it doesn't get rid of gonorrhea. It'll help with chlamydia. It'll help with syphilis. And it'll also help, obviously, with herpes. And so you have to look at your engagements. And you have to look and say, okay, well, where is that risk? And also look at your prior histories. If you're having two or three STDs a year, I usually tell people we need to do some prophylactic work. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you know that you're going to a sex party and every time you go to this sex party, you get an STD, then either you don't go to that sex party, or you go to that sex party, but prophylactic treatment so that now you're as protected as possible. Right. So most people nowadays should know that this is out there. And if you've never had an STD and everything is working out great with how you're kind of modeling your kind of engagements, great, keep doing that. It's working for you. But if there is deviation where there's positive STD or some symptomology or some issues, then just know that there are definitely things that we can do preemptively to minimize that instead of us taking away your desires. I don't want to change people's actions other than making them more positive for them. And then that in turn will improve the community. I don't want it to be where you're like, oh, I'm never doing that again. No, that's bullshit. Right. We all want to do this. How do we just do it as safely as possible? Or if you do contract an STD, have a plan in place for you and everybody that was there, and just be responsible and don't be dismissive. If it calls you and says, hey, I didn't want this to happen. You didn't want this to happen, but this is what happened. And I need you to know and take responsibility for that. Don't be a fucking douchebag.
So, one of the biggest things in this story, which really caught my attention, was the conversation that the individual had with this couple that they had a throuple with. So he made the initiative to say, hey, listen, this is what I discovered. This is what I'm going through. I think that you should know. And I think that you should get tested. I think that you should go get checked. And that ended up being received as very dismissive by the couple. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that it is a very, very taboo subject in the LGBT community, especially among gay men, to have the conversation about, hey, I was infected. You need to go get checked.
We've all had that conversation.
Right. Well, we might have all had that conversation, but a lot of people don't have that conversation because they're afraid of...
I've gotten the text. It's like, hey, I have to talk to you. And I was like, fuck you, what is it? Right.
So, no, but there's that accusatory version of, like, hey, we need to talk, and this is what happened, and I don't know if it's you, I don't know if it's me, but it happened. And how do we make that a norm to be able to have that conversation without making it seem accusatory, and also being able to have a conversation that's healthy enough for all parties involved to know that, hey, listen, we need to go get checked. If we were adult enough to make the decision to go and have a freaking weekend full of fun and sex all over the freaking living room, hot tub, like
whatever,
then we should be adult enough to be able to have a conversation and talk about the fact that this happened and how do we move forward.
Before you respond, Dr. G, I mean, you can agree or disagree with me. I think that the problem with that specific question lies in the fact that in our culture, especially in America, we have been so desensitized and not allowed to talk about sexuality growing up. And I think that in itself is why people get so nervous or aggressive about having those conversations.
But it's also shameful, right? So when you have an STD, when someone says, oh, you know, I got chlamydia from this guy, you could literally say, I got chlamydia from this guy, but they're looking at you like you're a tramp. Why did you get chlamydia? Right. Why didn't you protect yourself? Why didn't you do X, Y, Z? I'm like, well, first and foremost, it's none of your business why I didn't do any of those things. This is my life. I choose to do it as I want. I have a doctor that can help me. Mm-hmm. But in the end, when you're having the conversation with the person that's impacted either your sexual health or you impacted theirs, I think that there needs to be a way that we can have that conversation constructively without making it shameful.
Yeah, breaking down the stigma.
So how do we do that?
I agree. I think we're trying to do that now. We're trying to create, you know, through obviously Gay Talk 2.0 and all the, you know, the press that we're trying to achieve. I also think that, you know, trying to create better physician-patient relationships where doctors have these sensitivity trainings to really communicate in a non-dismissive, judgmental way, right? If we provide the safe haven on the medical side, hopefully it translates into people feeling comfortable to communicate. But again, you know, it is what it is, right? This is a hurdle that is with many of us over and over and over. I think the key component is obviously you need to make sure that you're approaching the situation as not a blame game. It can't be a blame game. Now, I wasn't on the call with obviously my client, and you could say all you want that it wasn't a blame game. But when someone calls you and they're saying, hey, I was never with anybody and I got this from you guys,
that's
the
blame game.
Right away, you become somewhat like, oh, fuck, that was me, right? With that being said, you know, I mean, you see it completely in the political arena where everybody is this like, you know, it can't be me or I'm making mistakes. And it's typical, and I call it the typical old white man syndrome, which is, you know, it wasn't me, right? It's never me. It's always you. You're the one to blame. And that's toxic. And we see that in everything. And when I was trained in medicine, we all make mistakes. Mistakes, risks are in everything we do. And we are trained to look at these mistakes in a critical way and learn from them, having discussions about why those mistakes were made and not who made them, and come up with active plans so that everybody can minimize this from happening again, but knowing that it's standard, that these are going to happen.
Yeah.
And so that is trying to take these conversations into our community where we are allowed to make mistakes. That is innate in our culture and community. It's how we react to them that is the important part.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think like 100%, I mean, as a doctor, you make a mistake, you learn from it. You literally evaluate everything you went through. But in real life, people don't do that. And I think that's something that we need to, as individuals and as people in the LGBTQ plus community, we need to start doing that. We need to be like, okay, I contracted this because I was involved in this type of situation. How do I mitigate that for in the future?
You take responsibility for your actions, right? For example,
not even necessarily.
But you have to, only because here's the thing, right? He knew that he was going into this situation where he was going to be with two different people. Yes, they were a couple, but he also made the decision to engage with them unprotected. And so therefore, he knew that there could always be the possibility. And yes, maybe COVID was what was front and center at the time, but he knew that he was going to engage with these people in an unprotected way, meaning that he wanted to engage with them with no protection and take their loads and all of this, you know, amazing things that can come with having unbounded, amazing, delicious sex. There's risk. And so I think that the most important thing that you can do for yourself is know that if you're engaging in this risky behavior, that you have a game plan.
Yeah.
Not to judge yourself, not to judge the partners that you were with, but have a game plan. If this happens, what am I going to do?
Yeah. And I also tell people all the time, two things that I would add. One is, if you plan on hooking up with these people again, now, there are certain situations where you really like the people and you wound up contracting an STD, right? Then you need to now make sure that indeed they did get treated and or are negative, and that moving forward, you guys have this conversation to make sure, because you really do want to continue to hook up together in that situation.
Right.
So that I think should be standard.
I was just going to say as well, it's like if somebody gives you negative feedback when you come and say, hey, this happened to me, maybe you shouldn't do it again.
Yes, right. That's exactly right. You start to see the true test of character of people in terms of how they react to these certain situations.
Right.
And again, if it's fuck buddy or more friends or someone that you're really interested in, this is how you can tell, like, hey, you know what? This is actually a winner. I want to keep this kid, you know, or not, right? You know, and that's really, really super, super important. I think, again, it's creating appropriate relationships. And the only other thing I would say is, in the active era of COVID, don't be afraid for people to get STD tested and or HIV tested and ask for their results.
Yeah.
I feel like it becomes, you know, I talk about this all the time. I think the apps are to blame. They need to take some responsibility of making sure that people are acting safely. I try to work with Grindr and work with a lot of these writers to try and get out where people are having access to the right care and also being screened appropriately, so that you now know, like, if I'm going to hook up with you, that you indeed did do the right testing and you are indeed negative, or if you have HIV, that you are indeed taking your medicine and that you are controlled. So if you're hooking up with somebody and you feel like, hey, oh, great, if you're talking about COVID testing, also talk about STD testing. And don't be ashamed to say, hey, you know what? I'm trying to create really great relationships, long-lasting, fun stuff, or run-of-the-mill, single, one-night hookup, but I need to make sure that you indeed are as clean as possible, and you go from there.
And you have that right. You have that right to require that from your sexual partners.
Well, I also
think I'm doing my due diligence to make sure that I...
And I think one other thing. If you don't want to do that, that's fine too. But then have a game plan of prophylactic antibiotics or routine schedules with your primary care doctor or us, or come up with a plan that works for how you engage. And that's when I say all these companies say one size fits all, sex for all. No, it's not. It's every person has their own sexual nature. And the issue that I have is just like what our terminology of bespoke. It's we need to change how we're thinking,
right,
not right. You. I can educate you all you want. If you want to engage in a certain way, I respect that. But how are we going to minimize as much risk as possible for you and the community? And I think that is the new way of thinking. And you see it from political, from all this. This is a new way. And how do we kind of convey that to everybody and also have practitioners that not only support it, but actually deliver that type of care?
100%. I think so. Two quick things before we let you go. I know we've kept you for a while. First is, I think even though COVID is terrible and a horrible thing that's going on in our country and in the world right now, it's allowed us to have these conversations, right? Did you get tested, right? And then move that conversation from just COVID to STDs, right? Because you're not just asking about one thing. So I think that there's like this kind of great thing about COVID in the sense that like you can now ask, hey, have you been tested? And since I'm asking about that, you can ask about everything else. And then on top of that, we had one last question about an anal, I'm going to say this, manometry exam?
Manometry?
Anal manometry.
Yeah. What is that? And why do we need it annually?
You'll see tomorrow because we're going to do a big kind of post on it. But anal manometry looks at your muscle function. And a lot of it was being used for fecal incontinence or urinary incontinence. And it was being used for a lot of kind of cancer patients or a lot of other things. And I started to kind of really say, you know, I think it's really important for our community to really look at muscle function and to try to pull this in as a standard evaluation yearly, because it gives us the right data. It'll tell us where you are on a spectrum of how is the muscle functioning, how is it relaxing, and really give us a lot of good information. And why do I say that? Well, because I see a ton of people that are way too tight. I see a ton of people that are way too loose, and I see people that are exactly where they want to be.
Right.
But the goal for us is how do we keep people where they want to be, especially if they're engaging anally, just from toys to obviously just regular run-of-the-mill cock to bigger toys or fists. And so all of these things can impact your muscle function. And the key component for us is to evaluate that. And now if we take that test and bring it into our yearly kind of armamentarium, it really helps to plot along to say, hey, you know what? Great, you could do Kegels. We could work with your therapist or your gym trainer to really work towards keeping the tone that you want? And how do we age as gracefully as we can, especially in the bottoming world? And right. to have that data in a 15-minute easy test gives us a really, really good standard of care. And I'm trying to push the envelope of standard of care by really having people think differently.
Right. Right.
And the insurance covers these tests. It's a really great test for us to get good information. And we learn a lot about you sexually in terms of your functionality. And then also it gives us a good timeline to talk about, well, do you feel loose? Or has the sensations diminished? Are your partners getting off? Are you still getting off? And it allows for a really good detailed sexual history and then data points to support one way or another, or nothing, or that you're exactly where you want to be, and how do we keep it that way?
But also, like, the muscles within your, you know, anal cavity, your rectum, they help you go to the bathroom. Like, totally. That's a huge thing, too.
Yeah.
If they're not functioning right, whether you're too loose, too tight, then you're not actually going to...
After 50 years of being pounded wildly and good, if you,
can't hold it in,
or if you can't hold it in, that's a problem.
Right. And so I think that those are the discussions that we're having to finally say, look, it's right now we're looking at preventative work. We're trying to figure out, okay, how do we prevent an STD, right? How do we prevent COVID? How do you prevent looseness and stop not thinking that this is real? It's real. And overuse is a syndrome that we all have issues with. And so with that being said, it's, again, owning our sexual worlds, owning how we shit and defecate, and then having real conversations of figuring out how do we optimize them. And instead of me having to remove somebody's colon because they love fisting and they have this huge rectal prolapse, how do we mitigate that? We may still have to do that years and years down the line, but with right training and the right protocols, we can hopefully make bottoming better and shitting better.
Yeah,
and so this test is a super easy test, and I'm trying to push it because I feel like it would give everybody a really good stepping stone for betterment as we start all to age, you know? So we do it. I have a great physical therapist, Steve, in the office, and he does the test and then can do his thing to evaluate and make sure that it's functioning.
So it's called a manometry test, correct? Steve.
Anal manometry.
Anal manometry.
Fucking Steve.
Well, Dr. G, today's episode has been enlightening in so many ways because the information that we have received today could be the difference between having an uncomfortable conversation or a very ideal conversation with partners that you engage with sexually. Also knowing the capacity of your muscle for when it comes to bottoming and defecating and using your organ in ways that it was meant to designed to be used and in ways that maybe it weren't, but we're using them anyway. And so I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to educate us as always, because the information that you're providing is truly vital for every male in our community to learn a little bit more on how they can navigate this complicated world that is using our buttholes.
That, and also we missed Phoenix this week, so let him know we say hi.
Seriously. He's a star and he doesn't even know it. That evil man. I love it.
Oh, man, it's amazing. Well, I know next week we'll have to get another reprise visit with Phoenix so he can get out his radio voice, he says.
Well, 100%. Actually, next month, it'll be November 2nd that you and I and the team will be we'll be coming back together.
You got this.
Yeah, we'll be coming back together November 2nd, which is the day before the election, so he'll have plenty of time to practice his hateful man speech.
Oh, that'll be perfect. Because it'll be the night before election,
and we're actually having an election episode. So if you want to join us for that too, let us know.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Oh, God, it's
it's something that we do now. We do an election episode. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, listen, I love you both and have a great evening. And thanks for pushing the narrative. Take a look tomorrow on our Medium post and everything on anal manometry.
Yep, we'll share
it. And then anything that you guys need, and especially for the listeners, you know, you could always DM, follow us on all the channels, and then we can kind of help you. Even if you're somewhere in the world that doesn't have access to this care, by all means, all of us are here.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. G. You are truly an amazing man. We love you.
Awesome. All right. Guys, all right, take care. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye. Well, ladies and gents, that, of course, was the amazing Dr. G. There is no, there's nothing else that we can say about this man that just really, so one of the best segments that we've ever had, and one of the best segments that we continuously have every month, is the fact that he comes on and really educates us about all the possibilities that we could, as gay men, or people in the LGBT community, could engage sexually in a way that you could still get what you want, but do it in a way that minimizes the impact on your health.
Not and even just, gay men. I mean, like, anybody.
Anyone. Yeah. Anyone. It's truly amazing. Truly amazing. All right. So, guys, it is October 5th, right? It is October 5th. Is it? Is it?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is October 5th. Look what came in the mail. For those of you who are on our video version of the show, I got my ballot in the mail. I'm excited. So please keep in mind, guys. So in this ballot, you are in the state of Connecticut, here's your ballot. Mine was yellow. It's pretty. I love it. It's very bright. There's two envelopes. Okay. So one of them is for you to, first and foremost, read the instructions on your ballot. It's on the back if you're in Connecticut. Select your candidates. Make sure that you fill out the little circles in their entirety. No X's. Fill in the circle.
And there's blue or black pen.
That's right. And there's two envelopes. The first one is the inner envelope for your absentee ballot, which you must sign and date. That's important. Your ballot will not be counted if you do not sign and date this envelope in where your ballot goes into. So where's my ballot? So this ballot goes into this envelope. And then there is this outer envelope, which, surprisingly, no postage is necessary. If you mail it within the United States for the state of Connecticut, you will put your ballot that's already been inserted into the ballot envelope into this next envelope. That is important.
Which goes in the mail.
It goes in the mail, or you can drop it off at your local ballot box at town hall or wherever it has been designated that you can drop off your ballot. Mm-hmm. So they are coming out. I did tell you that Connecticut would start mailing them out soon. Make sure that you keep a lookout for yours if you requested one and mail them out. It is important. Or drop them off. Do it.
I got mine today, too. I filled it out. It's packed up. It's ready to go. It's going to be dropped off tomorrow.
I'm excited, and I don't want to be disappointed, and I know that we don't know until election night, and we may not know until weeks after, but this is a very, very, very consequential election, and we need to make sure that we do our due diligence. We need to make sure that we follow all the rules highlighted in this, and do your part. Please, please go out and vote, and if you haven't, you can register in the state of Connecticut on the same day. You just have to know where to go. Information on Connecticut.gov /voting information. Go there and find out what you need to do. And if you need to help your family members, your friends register, get out there and vote. Because it is the only way that we're going to get rid of this madness that we have been subjected to in the past 4 years.
Yep. Talk about herpes.
Oh, serious herpes. Just one herpes. Nick, you have a story.
Yeah.
So I would like for you to discuss your story because I'm tired of talking. I've been talking for so long.
No, not really.
Okay, well, fine.
No, it's a really kind of great article.
I love it.
So it's about a San Diego soccer team. They walked off what's called the pitch or the soccer field in protest of a player. Allegedly, somebody used on the other team used homophobic slurs against Colin Martin, who had come out as homosexual. Now, this follows the week prior where they had somebody who racially slurred one of the other players on their team. So they had had a really hard week leading up to this.
Right.
And as a team, they came together and said that they won't stand for this. This right. won't happen. We won't allow it to happen. And they ended up, when this happened, they walked off the field, which means they literally lost their chance to go to the playoffs or their finals. I don't really know soccer terms very well, but
right.
but to move on and actually, you know, they were gonna, it looked like they were gonna win this game. They were gonna move on to the playoffs. They were gonna, you know, what is it, the World Cup or the whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a soccer player. But that being said,
it is important
as a team, knowing the stakes. Not one person said, I'm not walking off in support. I am walking off in support of my teammate. They all stood up and walked off.
Right.
And that being said, the coach not only talked to the refs and said, we want this player. They basically said, remove the player from the game and we will play the game. The ref said, no, we're not going to do that. Went and talked to the coach of the other team. No, the coach wouldn't do that. And they stood up as a team and walked off.
And they lost. They literally lost a match and their opportunity to go into a playoff mm-hmm. because of that. And so Donovan, I'm assuming Donovan is the coach, explained that the team decided to forfeit another match, not only because the first time around, as you said, it was a racial slur against another player, but this time around it was a homophobic slur mm-hmm. against one of their players. And you know what? One of the best things to in today's time and day is to read about people collectively coming together and denouncing homophobia. It's a beautiful thing.
100%. And the team was called Phoenix Rising. And still to this moment, the person who allegedly made the homophobic slur says that never happened.
So Phoenix Rising, it almost sounds like that's the team that at some point... Is this from LA, by any chance?
No. Do we know? Phoenix, I'm assuming, is from Arizona.
Okay. So... maybe not, because I know that David Beckham was in a team in L.A. and he played for a while before he retired. But nonetheless, it is so amidst all the craziness that we've been seeing over and over and over again with people denouncing the LGBT community, plus the hateful message that we received recently on episode 231.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, I had to mention this. So we got some hate mail, y'all. We got a message from someone. Anyway, before I get into the message, I just want to say it is wonderful to see team players come together and support members of their teams. And
for not only homophobia,
but for racial disparities. For
racism as well. They've had a rough couple weeks, and I am so proud of that team. They sacrificed a lot to make a statement. And that statement has been heard, and it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you know what? They were willing to lose it all to support their team member, and that takes claps.
That's family.
So, that being said, let's talk about this little hateful comment. Actually, it wasn't hate, but it is. So, we obviously record a show every Monday, and we published episode 231 like 2 weeks ago. And so we got someone by the name of Cody who posted on the message, Jesus is coming back quickly. Please turn to him while there's still time. He loves you so much. Get on your knees and ask him to change you. Ask him to open your eyes. Give him your everything. Ask him with all of your heart to save you. Be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by another person that has truly accepted Christ. Well, I'm assuming he's the one that accepted Christ. And my response to him is, no way, no how, we're out loud queer, and we're not going to allow religion to tell us that we are not worthy of being here as human beings.
So what you really said was, and the only knees we'll be on is when we're sucking an amazing, fabulous cock.
That's right. Because that's just how I do. So don't come for me with your religious bullshit if you don't want me to come back at you and say, this is who I am.
It's like, why are you even looking at it?
Like, really? Seriously?
If you don't want to look at it, don't look at it. You don't want to hear it? Don't
You don't have to press play.
No, and honestly, nobody gives a fuck what you think. They don't. I'm sorry. We are a gay show.
Stop trolling us.
Do you want to be trolled? Because we will come at you. Oh, our listeners will come for you.
They will.
Like, do not.
I found it hilarious. So, of course, I said, you know, the only knees we'll be getting on is when, you know, we're sucking fabulous cock and blah, whatnot.
Baptize me in your goddamn cum.
Seriously, all over me. Let it rain. Like Lady Gaga says, rain on me. Rain on me.
I'm going to baptize that motherfucker.
Ooh. She about to get it. So anyway, one more thing before we let you go today. I know that it's been a very, very, very long show.
And I got to pee.
I know, me too. So very quickly, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the Supreme Court, perk up and listen up. So, Justice Clarence Thomas, this was reported on LGBTQNation.com, Justice Clarence Thomas issued an opinion today repeatedly attacking the 2015 Supreme Court decision in Obergefell versus Hodge, which legalized marriage equality in all of the 50 states, as unconstitutional because it bypassed the democratic process that caused people with sincere held religious beliefs concerning marriage to find it increasingly difficult to participate in society.
Basically, what's happening here is they are literally leaning on religion to revoke what we already have right now.
Right. And so, importantly enough, what's happening in this whole... So, we lost a justice...
And it was actually two Supreme Court
justices. And Alito as well.
Yeah.
So, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as we know, passed away. And right now, there is an active movement to push another Supreme Court justice appointed by this asshole that's in the office.
Oh, well, actually, he just got out of the hospital. Never mind.
So, do I need to be nice to him? No, fuck her. Anyway, so he appointed someone, and Amy, I can't remember her last name. Please don't curse me or do whatever it is that you might do to me. I can't remember her last name, but all I know is she is a conservative person that, if appointed to the Supreme Court, would shift the scales of the court from being
liberal
conservative and with one person that's a swing vote to very, very, very conservative. And what happens? All it takes is one person to file a lawsuit, like Waffle fucking House Kim, who's still trying to get her freaking lawsuit into the freaking Supreme Court.
It doesn't even take a lawsuit. The Supreme Court can decide to re-review any case at any point.
They can, but typically they would wait until a lawsuit works its way up the court system.
But that's not what's happening here.
And decide whether or not they want to take that. That's all it takes.
But that's not what's happening here.
And so you have two justices that are already saying that the decision that was made in 2015 is wrong. And all it takes is having a full lock on 6-3.
They opened a conversation about overturning 2015 marriage equality.
Right.
So they're not waiting.
Well, they can't overturn it on their own, right?
No.
In order for them,
two people on the Supreme Court are now literally using their voice to say, I want to look at this. And they just opened up this season for the Supreme Court.
And all they need is a case to land there.
They don't even need a case.
They can review
the decision and decide that it's unconstitutional.
And so, but they would need a challenge. They do need the challenge. They need someone to sue. And Waffle House Kim is still trying to push her agenda into the Supreme Court because she lost at the lower level courts. If a case challenging marriage equality in this country lands in the Supreme Court and Amy
Barrett
is already confirmed as a justice on the court, I can guarantee you that our rights to marriage will be in jeopardy and they will be gone. And it is sad that this is where we are, but this is how important it is for us to be able to overturn the Senate.
I mean, then you also look at the fact that there was a question during the debate about loading the Supreme Court and adding members. So it, I think, what is it, nine now?
It's currently nine. So, at one point in time, there were seven.
Yeah.
And then so, there were nine.
Right. And so I think both Biden and, oh my God.
Dump?
No. Oh my God.
Harris?
Yeah. Kamala Harris were asked because after the debate, she was on CNN and another show. If they had a plan to increase
stack the amount. Stack the court.
Stack the court, right.
Right.
And they both. Pretty much they avoided the question 100%.
Well, no one ever wants to have to increase the number of justices because you want to. I think that because the Supreme Court is the final landing place in our social justice and law, I think that, you know, presidents currently shouldn't have an opportunity to shift the court in such a drastic way when 95% of the American people in this country don't want what it is that they're selling.
Right. And I also think that, like, the only, I don't think that will happen unless, if Amy does get appointed, maybe it'll happen.
Right.
Mainly because the balance has been tipped. And the reality is the Supreme Court should be a very equal balance. And we haven't seen an equal balance on that court.
In our lifetime, we saw it, right? So we've had a lot of things happen.
But everybody's been constantly trying to tip the balance.
Right. And so that's exactly what the Republican Party is doing. That's what Mitch McConnell is doing. And that's what the president is doing.
Not just the Republicans. The Democrats do it too. Like,
well, obviously you want a more liberal court because you get more favorable outcomes for the majority of the American people.
No, you want a liberal, moderate, and conservative court. You want a very balanced court.
Right. And but right now we
don't have that because everybody tries to load the court with their nominee that's either super liberal
or super conservative. Mm-hmm. So right now we have 4-4 Gorsuch. He surprised everyone with his last ruling.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, like maybe we're wrong, but like that's the reality. We're sitting in a world where we literally have a two-party system that is constantly going back and forth at each other. You have one side that wants this, one side that wants this. But the reality is, it's not going to change until we just all find a moderate place to
So, but not only is marriage equality on the line here, also Roe versus Wade. Right?
Oh, 100%.
And a woman's right to make their own decisions for their own sexual health.
And it's not it's on the line.
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are going to be on the line with this appointment. And so,
do I think if Amy gets appointed and Biden and Kamala win, do I think that they should stack the court? 100%. Because what else are we going to do?
Right. The majority of the country doesn't want a conservative court. It is clear. We're already there. We know that. We know the work that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg did and what she fought for all her life. The fact that a woman can carry her husband on medical insurance is due to her.
I think the majority of the world doesn't want conservative or liberal. I think the majority of people want level-headed, moderate people that can make a decision based off of
the law.
The law
and the Constitution.
And their job is to interpret the Constitution.
Right.
And if they can't do that in a healthy, moderate, even way, then they are not the right judge for the court.
But
we talk about liberal, we talk about conservative, and yes, we do need to have some discourse, but the reality is we need level-headed, moderate people to interpret the Constitution.
And two of these supposed to be level-headed and moderate, which is Clarence Thomas and Alito, don't want to.
They're already coming at something, yes.
Right. They're already coming out and saying that they're against, and they were against. They were actually two of the original justices that were against and dissented on that decision on Obergefell versus Hodge. And so, therefore, that's where we stand. But you know what? Marriage equality is at risk. It really is at risk, and that's something that we have to think about, and that we have to contemplate the
okay. Let's go.
The ramifications of the choices that we make over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. So,
basically, what you're saying is fucking vote.
Vote. Okay. Damn it. So anyway, we've got Mama Kim's Minute, and we'll move it along.
All right. Well, this week's Mama Kim's Minute is actually Mama Kim's Hot Minute, because she only sent me two articles. So number one, Charlie Carver says being slapped for mannerisms led him to come out.
Which is ideally amazing, because but National terrible. Coming Out Week is next week.
And then the LGBTQ Nation heroes of the year are, after a month of voting, here are the heroes that you decided should be honored as an LGBT hero.
We'll have that link on
the post.
Tonight's post, so that you can see all the heroes that were selected. Mm-hmm.
And of course, here we go. This week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com
is moosh.
Moosh.
Moosh means mouth. Tell her to shut her moosh before I really give her something to cry about.
Ooh.
And I thought that was perfect.
That's so violent.
Because didn't Biden say that?
Uh-huh. He's like, man, don't you ever shut up. Or what? Something like that. It was funny.
It was pretty funny.
It was one of the better moments of that debate.
No, it was like... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Shut up.
I'm going to give you the next one.
All right. I'm going to do this? All right. This is like an oxymoron, okay? Bear with me. So on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com. Chris is not here to do it, so I'm going to do it. Ferdinand I declared Bulgaria's independence. When? It happened October 5th in 1908. Where? Bulgaria. Ferdinand, considered to be bisexual, proclaimed Bulgaria's independence from the Ottoman Empire, elevating Bulgaria to the status of a kingdom. And then he proclaimed himself Tsar. How can you be independent and then claim yourself a Tsar?
Like, well, I mean, they're independent as a nation, and then he's like, now I'm in control of this nation. Yeah,
like, I own this shit. Like, bitch, you bow to me.
She was basically a queen.
Yeah. You better work, Miss Ferdinand I. But anyway, that was our on this day in gay history. So, ladies and gents, I want to thank you all for joining us on today's show. If you love our show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, review, share with your favorite peoples, and access it on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show in a monetary way, or with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Nick?
Next week, it is currently going to be all about the dish, and probably will be all about the dish, but you never know. And right. thank you to our guest, of course, Dr. Evan Goldstein. He's amazing. We love him. And then don't forget, get your discount for the future method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person. Tom, do you mind if we just go ahead and throw a rubber on this?
Let's put a rubber, a dental dam, all of the motherfucking things on it.
All right. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Nick announces more. You can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter at GayTalk 20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, let's close it out.
All right. Well, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of the web browser. There you can leave comments. You can suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast or an individual host, or you can call us if you want. With any of those amazing questions, the number is 334-GATE-TALK. And if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. I just have to mention that having to pee really bad, it is so painful.
I know. So close.
Don't forget that our show streams live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, I have to pee. That is our show. Thank you, and y'all have have a good night. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.